Amen. How many ready to receive God? When we receive His word, we receive God because He is His word. So, praise God. Good to see you today. How many know smiling is my favorite? Can you look at your neighbor and say, smiling is my favorite? Smiling is my favorite. You know what? Somebody says, no, pizza's my favorite. Watch it, okay? But we need smiling to be our favorite. And what we're teaching this and what we're teaching is if you have a smiling heart, you'll have a smiling face. Because the inside is an the outside is an expression of what's going on inside. So I'll just talk to you for a short period of time today, but I want to talk to you about some things that I believe will be helpful for us to make smiling our favorite. We need to recognize where we're at. We need to recognize that there are things, circumstances, we went over this, there are circumstances in our life and the deception, the recipe for misery is this. As soon as I get done with this situation, as soon as, I get that job, as soon as I graduate from college, as soon as I am able to buy a home, as soon as my kids get out of diapers, as soon as whatever the as soon is, that's a recipe for misery. Because let me tell you what, it's a deception. It's not real. You're not, Paul says, I've learned the secret to be content in any and every situation. Does this make sense? So the deception is, as soon as I'm done with this, then I'm going to be happy. No, no, no. Happiness doesn't, listen, if happiness comes from a situation in your life, then your life is going to be just this roller coaster of always all over the place. And God doesn't want your life to be that way. He wants there to be this consistency in your life that friends, neighbors, people around you, people in your family, spouses, that they're witnessing the joy of the Lord as they connect with you. Hello? So, I want to teach this quickly to you, just a couple of things. The first thing I want to say is this. First thing I want you to understand is this. You have the remote. Say, I have the remote. Now, in our family, probably like your family, you know what? Who has the remote? Hello? See, some of you know who's got the remote. You know what I mean? Like, my wife has got the remote. You know what I mean? I don't get the remote. Some of you say, for some of you, it's my husband has a remote. I don't get the remote. You know what I mean? But here's my question. Who has the remote? Because whoever has the remote gets to watch what they want to watch. Is that not right? And what I want you to understand today is you have the remote. Amen. You have the remote. See, we have been lied to think that we can't control what we think. You can control whatever you want to think about. And think about just a couple passages I want to show you. The first is in Psalms, the 77th Psalm, and verse 11 and 12. Look up here on the screens with us. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember His wonders of old. Next verse. I will also meditate on all your work and talk about your deeds. Wow, what a great psalm for us to talk about this Mother's Day. Remember that one mom, she said, you know what, I probably think or focus too much on the negative. And it was so interesting as Shayla came to me, and if you want to stay for the second service, you can, because I have another good video. It's funnier. But the reason why I like this video is because I think the mothers really, could you tell the difference in the mother's perception of what they did and the kid's perception of what they did? Man, isn't that our life sometimes? That we focus on the negative too much. We're thinking about what's going on in our lives, and we're thinking, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong in my life, and this is wrong and that's wrong. And I love what the psalmist says. He says, I will also meditate on all your work. These are all the blessings of God, and talk about your deeds. He's saying earlier, he says, I'm going to remember your wondrous works. In other words, this psalmist understands he has the remote. You can think about whatever you want to think about. And let me tell you the truth. Your thoughts are extremely powerful in how your life goes and your feeling about your life. We saw it, we read it recently in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, up here on the screen I have it, starting with verse 1. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Oh, you guys don't have that? Do you have that? Okay, look at this. Therefore, watch this. Here's what I want to prove. You have the remote. See, some of you don't recognize you control whatever you want to think about. Watch this. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, is there any fellowship of the Spirit, is there any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Ever say, be like-minded? How in the world can Paul tell the Philippians, be like-minded? Here's how come, because he knows they have the remote. They can turn the channel to whatever they want. They can all decide we're going to go to channel 4, and they all can go to channel 4. That's why he has this command, I want you to be like-minded. Watch this. Being in one accord of one mind. How in the world are we going to be in one mind? I've proved this to you, said it before. I'll take you all out to lunch. I'll take you all out to lunch. And all you have to do is, when I count to three, tell me where you want to go to lunch. And if you all come up with the same thing, you know what? I'll pay. All right? Ready? One, two, three, go. See, I heard Taco Bell and I heard Steak and Stein. Amen? See, you know what? But at someday, somebody's going to recognize, I do that quite often, somebody's going to recognize, you know what, every time pastor does that, we all got to stay steak and sign. You know what, then we'll all, you know what I mean? But every time somebody new is here, they don't know, they say Taco Bell, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Here's my point. Paul says be like-minded because it's possible to be like-minded. But here's why, because he knows you have the control in your hand. You have control. Let nothing be done for selfish ambition or conceit, but loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Next verse. Let each of you not only look for your own interests, but the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let, that's an act of your will. You have the control. You can think whatever you want to think. And you right now can think of something joyful or you can think of something sad. Let me show you how powerful your mind is in controlling, you know what, how your life is. Watch this. Right now I want you, very briefly, it'll only be a little bit of time. I don't want to know the details. You know what, don't get too morbid, but think of something sad right now. Ready? One, two, three, go. I don't want to hear what it is. I did hear what he said. I like what he said. He said, there's no food at the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a wonderful thing to be sad about. You know what? Normally, after service, we have food. We're not having food today because it's Mother's Day. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sad too. Amen. But for whatever you thought of what was sad, well, let's flip it over real quick. Do me a favor real quick. I'll count to three. You think of one of sometime in your life that was something happened that you have a lot of reason to be full of joy. Think of something positive. Ready? One, two, three, go. My second point is this. Watch this. How you think or what you think determines everything. Now, we'll talk about everything in a minute, but one of the main things it determines is your attitude. And your attitude is so critical to where your life goes. So let me ask you some things. When I asked you to think of something negative, people raise their hands, tell me, how did you feel when you were thinking of that thought, that situation in your life that was negative? Tell me your feelings. How'd you feel, Tony?
Cried.
Who else? How'd you feel? Heartache. Good. Didn't really want to even go there. Why? Here's why. Because you know what kind of emotions that's going to bring up. Nobody thinks of sad things, depressing things, negative things that happen in your life, and they're like, oh, you know what? You're all happy today. What are you all happy about? Oh, I'm just thinking about how the dog got ran over. Well, I shouldn't use that analogy. Because I love those dogs. Amen. Amen. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. You don't have a good attitude when you think negative thoughts. My point is, how you think or what you think determines so much of your life and really what's going on. You know this, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks, so he is. As he thinks, how you think is so important, and it's important that you never forget the first thing. Who's got the control? Who's got the remote? I've got the remote. That's why the Bible says in Colossians, it says, set your mind on the things above. Why? Because you have the remote. You can set it wherever you want. And there are substantial, critical things, negative things that have happened to every single one of us, and every single one of us can change the channel. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When I asked you to think of something negative, okay, and you thought of something negative, how come you changed? Here's why. Because I said, now think of something positive. Think of a good thought. Think of something good that happened to you. And so when I said that, what did you do? You made a decision, and because who's got the remote? You have the remote. You changed. It was as simple as that. What is my point? Here's my point. That you took directive from me. You know what you need to do? You know what we need to do? We need to start taking directive from ourselves. And any time that it starts to go towards the negative channel, towards what happened in our past, towards who hurt us, towards all that stuff, we need to just go, I'm changing the channel. Some of you, because that remote has been so on, you know what? Let me just tell you how it works. For some of you, if I got in your car, I could tell what you listen to. You know how I could tell what you listen to? I just see where it was programmed. And for some of you, if I got in your car and I touched the programs, it would be, you know what, sports radio, you know what, ESPN, you know what, I don't know all the sports, but you know what, ESPN1, ESPN202, whatever. But it would be sports. You know what? Some of you have got in your car, it would be, you know what, play that funky music, white boy. You know what? Funky Town, you know what I mean? And Brick House. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Hello? Right? For some of you, it would be, I better stop as it is, right? But all I'm saying is this, what you've done is you pre-programmed your settings in your mind, and it's, you know what? My wife hurt me. My kids hurt me. You know what? I'm at a job that's going nowhere, and I haven't still graduated from college. And you just go through your day, and you go, my wife hurt me, My kids hurt me. I haven't graduated from college. You know what? And I still live in an apartment. You know, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to change the channel. And then you go back here. My wife hurt me. Change the channel. My kids hurt me. And all the settings are programmed to things that have happened. Am I preaching good right now? Is somebody receiving what God is? And the problem is, it's these preconceived. It's like, you know what I mean? And what you do is you change the channel, but you go from one hurt to another hurt to another hurt, and you're adding to your program because you have opportunities. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. You have opportunities to add to the channel every month. Does somebody live in this world with me? Because that happens. You have opportunities. What I'm saying is you've got to go in there. You know what? You might have had this happen to me. You get in the car, your battery's dead, and when your battery's dead, what happens? You get to go, you got a fresh slate, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I hope your battery goes dead today. Come on. I hope your battery goes dead today. Why? Because if our battery goes dead today, you know what? That's what I'm praying. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray supernaturally that we would receive what you have us today, that there would be a reset in our lives, that there would be a reset in our spirits, that there would be a reset in our minds, that we would no longer have to continue to go back to from negative to negative to negative, that in you we live and move and have our being, and in you we can walk in peace that surpasses all understanding, because in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Well, I can't do that. No. Do we need to go back to the first point? What was the first point? Come on. What is the first point? You have the remote. You got it. You don't have to. You can control it. You have a choice. Amen. All right, so we understand, we have the remote, we understand that this is so important, that what we think, because your attitude, what you think is going to determine your attitude, and your attitude is going to determine your altitude. With your marriage, with your kids, with your job, with your career, with your life. Amen? So, here's what we need to recognize. And I got to teach this fast, but you got to listen fast, okay? Yes. Do we get your fast listeners on? Yes. Okay. So here's what you have to need to understand. That, let's just go to the scripture. Psalm 78. I have it up here on the screen for you. Psalm 78, verses 12 through 20. Actually, just look up here. I'll teach it to you. So here's what happens. Israel, they get delivered from Egypt. Egypt is the strongest nation in the world. They have the biggest military. They have the strongest economics. They are a superpower. You know what? Probably greater superpower than ever has been in comparison to other countries at that time. They're a super, super, superpower. And God delivers his people from Egypt. How does he do that? He does that with an outstretched arm. He does that by sending, you know, I don't know if you remember the story, if you saw the movie, but he sends these plagues. And these plagues are sent, these plagues are sent, these plagues are sent, these plagues are sent, these plagues are sent. They're supernatural. So he turns the water into blood. So it's like, how many know would that freak you out when you're cooking? He was like, oh, Pastor, I don't believe ever that happened. Listen, let me tell you what. Your skepticism, you can see a miracle happen right in front of your face and come up with reasons why what you thought you saw didn't happen. It has to do with unbelief. And so at some point in time, that God just said, listen, you guys are so full of unbelief. I'm gonna stop showing you miracles because you're just looking for a sign. And when you see a sign, then you sit there and go, show us another sign. Hello? So I'm just saying, I understand if you don't believe it, but please understand, some of you, sometimes we have a mindset that is so veered to this way that, you know what, it is even right in front of you, and you say, no, that's not true. You know what I mean? Hello. Hello. So all these supernatural things, they get delivered. Nobody could have busted them loose except the supernatural power of God. They get released. Not only do they get released, but they get released. And before they get released, God says, oh, one more thing before you leave. Put your head over the fence and say, oh, by the way, when all those plagues were happening, none of them were happening to the Israelites. They were delivered from all that. So before you leave, and you're going to leave because they're going to want to get rid of you after all these plagues, poke your head over the fence and say, oh, by the way, do you have any gold or silver? Because I want that. Gives them all the gold and all their silver. They walk away completely healed, completely blessed. They get to, they're not in the promised land yet, but they're going to go to the promised land. Moses goes up to get the ten commandments. Aaron is there and says, here's what I want you to do. You guys got all these fancy gold earrings on. I want you to break them off and give them to me. They come in. He forms a golden calf while Moses is gone. And imagine this. After God has done all these miracles to free them, then here's what they say. Here's just the so unbelievable part. Here's what they say. They make it with their own earrings. And here's what they say. They say this. Here is the God that delivered us and set us free from Egypt. So, Pastor, what does that have to story to have to do with anything or what you're talking about? Have a happy, hilarious heart. Here's why. Because you need to start listening to your words. Your words need to start, you know what? You ever been around someone who complains all the time? You're like, hey, would you just be quiet? I hate you, Wawa, are you kidding me? Okay, but here's what I want to ask. Have you ever recognized, I'm just asking, you might be that person? See, have you ever spoken and then gone like, here, watch, let me give you a word picture. Have you ever spoken and then gone like this? What am I saying? Some of you didn't catch it because I was facing the wrong way. Here, watch. I'm saying, you ever said something and then after you said something, go like this? So you're going to catch. See, a lot of times we speak, but we don't catch what we say. And if we caught what we would say, we would recognize, oh my goodness, I just go through, I complain about lunch, I complain about dinner, and I complain about breakfast. I complain about my spouse, I complain about my kids, I complain about my grandparents. I complain about the weather, I complain about the lighting, I complain about my clothes, I complain about my car. I just go through my life, but you never hear it because you're never listening. You hear it in other, how many would recognize it's easy to find fault in other people? You see, man, I can, you know what, I can find fault in you a mile away. I just see it, man. They got this wrong, they got that wrong, they got this problem, they got that problem. Man, we're experts at finding other people's faults. But can we become an expert today to listen to our own stuff? And here's why that's so important, because here's what's going on. I want to tell you what's going on. Because with this many people, I could trust me, there's probably a lot of complaining going on in the house. Oh, no, there's not. You think there's not because you didn't listen to it. But today, just see if I'm wrong. Today, everything you say, listen to it and ask yourself, are you a complainer? And trust me, today what's going to happen, you're going to start to talk, and then you're going to go, boom. Right? Trust me, it's going to happen. But here's what I'm saying. I want us to locate what's really going on. complaining. Can I tell you what complaining is? Complaining is a sign of unbelief. Complaining is a sign of unbelief. You're complaining because you don't really think your spouse is going to change. And watch this. I love you guys. I love you. Please, somebody hear me. And you're part of the problem. Because what you should be doing is acting like God. And God calls to things that are not as though they are. You need to pull your spouse into holiness. What you're doing is calling, speaking. I'm not saying that your husband aren't those things. I'm not saying your wife isn't those things. I'm saying you're pulling on the wrong side. Because when you speak the things that are as though they are, you're just putting more bricks on the stronghold. Yeah, I'm just asking. Can I ask married couples, do you recognize your spouse has strongholds? Like, Pastor, but I don't want to raise my hand right now. Okay. I get that. But I know you know they do. And what I'm saying is so do you. And what you need to, what spouses should be doing is pulling bricks off the strongholds of for each other. Hello? So here's what's going on. What's going on is there's this doubt and unbelief that you really don't believe the situation is going to change, so you complain about it. Here, let me prove it to you, and I'm almost done. Are you guys learning something today? Okay. Okay. You're at Walmart, and you're at Walmart, and you're really busy, but some guy who looks like Bill Gates is walking in Walmart, and he's looking for a cart, and you have a cart, and you think, I for whatever reason, you just, not because he looks like Bill Gates, because at this point, you haven't even recognized that is Bill Gates. You just think, oh, you know, this guy, here, take my cart. And you give him your cart, and you start looking for another cart. And that guy recognizes it. He says, oh, I'm sorry. You got a minute? And you're like, yeah, sure. And he says, hey. And then you look at him, and then you recognize, oh, my goodness. This guy could be Bill Gates' twin. And he says this, let me introduce myself to you. I'm Bill Gates. You're like, oh my goodness. I didn't know you shopped at Walmart. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's just a story, okay? But you're going to get the point. I'm not saying he doesn't. I don't know. But here's what I'm saying. All this, and he says, wait a minute. And he gets out his checkbook, and he writes you a check. And he signs it, but where it says the amount, he doesn't put it. And here's what he puts. He puts Mercedes-Benz of Newport Beach. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I know the owner personally. You know what? He'll be down there today. His name is, you know what, Joe Smith. And here's what, and I want you to find him, and I want you to pick out whatever Mercedes-Benz you want. And I don't care. Get rims on it. Get the super sound system on it. It can be convertible. I don't care. How many know Bill Gates buying you a Mercedes-Benz is probably like me giving you a quarter? I don't. Boom. Boom. Okay, so watch this. Everybody say complaining is a sign of unbelief. It's a sign that you don't trust God. That's what it is. If you trusted God, you'd be like, my wife is great. My husband is great. My kids are great. Life is good. Amen? I might not be in the right job that I want to be in, but God is going to bless me. You know what? And I'm going to, he's got, my steps are ordered to the Lord. Everything's going to be okay. If you really trusted God. So watch, I'm going to prove it to you. So you're going down the 605 freeway in your jalopy of a car, you know what I mean? Hello? It doesn't go in reverse, you know what? The radio only, you know what, gets, you know what, two stations, you know what? The air conditioning is rolled down the window, you know what I mean? It kind of sputters sometimes, you know what I mean? And you're driving there, and you get a flat tire. I'm just asking. Let me tell you how I'm changing that flat tire. I'm getting out of the car. I'm saying, you know what? Hallelujah. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord, I'm getting the lunk wrench out. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Right? That's how I'm doing. That's how I'm rolling. Why? 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 Because I saw that guy. That guy was Bill Gates. I got the check. I got the check. I'm rolling home in a Mercedes-Benz, dude. And let me tell you what. And I'm not getting the stripped-down model. Hello. I'm going to get the sound system. I'm going to get the cruise control. I'm going to honey, I'm coming home, baby. Why is my attitude completely changed? When the truth is, at this point, nothing has changed. I got the junky car. You know what? I'm at the side of the road. Nothing has changed. But what do I believe? I believe that everything is going to change. And so because of that, I'm not complaining. Complaining is a sign of unbelief. There's this underlining, I really don't believe God is going to do this for me. You know why God really, really, really got annoyed with the Israelites? Because after he had delivered them, given them all this the funds, they were all walked in healing, walking out. They're completely, the Red Sea opens up. You know what? They see their enemy. You know what? Then it closes up. They see their enemy. You know what? On the shoreline, after all this radical stuff, here's what they say. They say, can God give us manna? Well, they didn't name that. Can God give us bread? And can God give us meat? And God is like, really? So, how many would recognize that is evil? Okay, I got one more thing to say, and then I want Tamara to come on up here. How many of you, the sermon title is called Count Your Blessings? Because how many of you, God has done supernatural things in your life? He has done things that you just, I mean, they're undeniably supernatural. Here's what I want to say. Count your blessings. Because if you will count your blessings, you will get your mind, you will set your mind on the right things. You will set your minds, what the first scripture, you'll set your minds on the blessings, the wonders of God. And you'll say, no, this is the same God that got me out of this mess. This is the same God that got me out of this mess. This is the same God that got me out of this mess. And I tell you what, that God is going to get me out of this mess too. See, why did David run after Goliath? You know why? Because David didn't forget the wondrous works of God. He said, see, he knew, God delivered me with the lion. God delivered me with the bear. And guess what? I just got one more big guy I'm going to take down today. See, that's the difference. So I'm telling you, reset your stations today. Set him to, you know what, you know, when the people left and went over the Jordan, you know what God said? I want you to go over the Jordan, but take with you, here's what he said, put these stones on your shoulder. He wanted big stones. And you know where the stones came from? The stones came from the bed of the river. And 12 of you carry these big stones and make them a memorial. You know why? Because later on, when you're sitting there with your son or grandson on the shore side, whatever, you know what I'm talking about, by the river, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, see those stones? You know where those stones came from? They came from the river. And God delivered us supernaturally. Why do your son and daughter need to know that story? Here's why. Because they're going through something. And they need to know God will deliver you. You know what, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter? We need to remind ourselves of the wonders of God. Can I tell you what? We could have a good life. Smiling can be your favorite, and it can be more than just a saying. It can be something that's real in your life. But you've got to be willing to change your stations. Yeah.